Trinity. Welcome to Barry Perez.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, it's so good to be here. Oh, David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you do that? You know, he said that the word was sweet to his taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to the lips. He also said that he didn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Lord, we hunger for you. We need you. We desire you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it. You send forth your word, Lord, and it will not return unto you void, but will accomplish, Lord, all that you purpose to accomplish. Oh, he knows us and he loves us. And it's an everlasting love. No respecter of persons is our God. Doesn't love one more than the other. He transcends religions, creeds, races. And he knows what's going on in us, what we think, even what we're going to pray before we pray it. And he's moved with compassion. I say this a lot, and I'm going to repeat it. Compassion is not a sit word. It's a do word. And wasn't Jesus, and isn't he still moved with compassion? He wept on the Mount of Olives. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, whatever that weakness might be, whatever, you know, we're going through. He knows and he cares. So don't we draw near to him, because he draws near to us. And it's not that he's way up there. There is a throne in the third heaven. But he lives in believers. And we live and move and have our being in him. And his word holds all things together. If we withdrew his word, it would all collapse. I'm not sure my finite mind comprehends that. You know, one of my friends here, while we were greeting one another, came up and said, you know, the Lord healed me the last time you were here. Had a growth that dissolved. Yes, praise God. You see, I'm not a healer, but he is. spirit, soul, and body. Mentally, emotionally, he wants us whole. It reminded me when you were sharing that with me that when I was preaching outside of Houston in the early part of February, it was a Friday night, Overflow Fellowship in Cyprus, right outside of Houston. The pastor, Sidney O'Pry, a good friend, he took a picture. There I was on Facebook. And he put a little caption. He quoted something I said. I forgot what it was. But a lady put a comment. And this is going to bless you. She said, I heard him speak 10 years ago in Orange, Texas. And I don't really remember what he said. My mind was fixed on our little infant daughter who had just had open heart surgery. And he stopped during his message and said, there's a little baby that's just had surgery. God's going to heal her. You see, I don't remember that. I don't remember all the wonderful things that he does. Because don't ever forget this. I never want to forget the fact that Jesus says twice in John chapter 5, he says, I can do nothing from myself. One translation, from my own initiative. See, that's where we've got to cultivate that. Because unless he does, unless he moves, nothing of divine implication that's going to involve eternity will ever happen. Now, if I say Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit, everything he did, he saw his Father doing in the realm of the Spirit. What he said, what he spoke, he heard. His Father spake. So I don't remember. But this is what the lady said. She said, I ran back to get our little daughter, and I didn't even get to the altar. You see, she'd had open heart surgery, and her sternum bone was protruding way out of the chest. And they were looking at subsequent surgeries. She said, I got halfway to the altar and her bone went pop and went right back into her chest. I didn't know anything about that, Pastor Randy, till February of this last year. So 3 days later, I'm preaching in a church about an hour and a half away in Vidor, Texas, and I share the testimony to encourage people to expect God, who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who loves us with this everlasting love, to overtake and take over. Because that's what he does. At the end, I'd prayed with quite a few people, and I noticed there was an elder, not that you're elderly, brother, but there was an elderly man standing about as far as we are, and I said, sir, can I help you? And he said, can I just have a word with you? And I said, absolutely. And I walked up to him, and he said, when you were sharing about the little child, about the little infant, he said, I've had a growth on my chest, and he said it disappeared. Isn't the Lord amazing? 87 years old, leaning against the back wall. Billy, God can touch you in the back wall back there. You see, because it's all about Him. Isn't he able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think? Ask or think according to a power, the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. Not energy, but the person of the Holy Spirit in us to will and to work his good pleasure. Acts chapter 4. Right on the heels of Peter and John going to the temple, they're going to pray, not to offer sacrifices, because the supreme sacrifice had already been offered. Amen. This is after Pentecost, right? After the Holy Spirit was poured out, we sang about let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Well, I want it to rain, don't you? I think it's already raining. Holy Spirit, rise up within us. Change the atmosphere, dear Lord, around us like only you can. We want to be magnets that draw on you, that pull on you, Lord. Because we know that you can do anything. Anything. You remember, Holy Spirit is poured out. And the result was when Peter stood up to give an explanation, of course, he preached a pretty good message there, didn't he? 3,000 gave their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus, received forgiveness of sins, applied everything that Jesus did on the cross to their lives, and were baptized. And then it just begins to unfold. I mentioned Acts chapter 3, the lame man at the gate beautiful when they went to pray. And you remember, they didn't stop to pray. I think this is very interesting. This is going to bother some of you, but I'm going to say it anyway. They didn't stop and say, Father, in Jesus' name, heal them. Heal him. Remember, he thinks they're going to give alms, right? Pete, you know Pete, He says, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That man was lame from birth. I don't think he had much muscle development, do you? Lame from birth. He got up running and leaping and praising God. Probably a whole lot better than that. You may be seated. Thank you. And Peter preaches again. 5,000 are added to the church. I think they're on a roll. 5,000. Not only says that, it says that signs, miracles, and wonders were wrought about through the hands of the apostles. It says no one lacked as far as need because they held everything in common. They shared. They cared. On a roll. I think they're touching all the bases, don't you? I think they're hitting home runs. I like to watch Steph Curry play basketball. Man, that guy can shoot the thing, can't he? Huh? You know, sometimes they'll put somebody in there just to get him out of the zone. And they'll foul him on purpose to get him out of the zone. Well, that's what happened in Acts chapter 4. They tried to get the disciples out of the zone because they're on a roll. Can anybody relate to the fact when things just seem to be going good and things are happening and you're on a roll and the Lord is and it's amazing and you're marveling and anybody relate to that? Three of you? Seven? All of us? All of us. And the enemy tries to get us out of the zone. Because they're arrested. I want to tell you something. Here's a word you need to write down and memorize, okay? God spoke to me in Israel in January when I was there for the 16th time. There is order in the chaos. There is calm in the storm. You see, no matter what is happening around you or me, He's got everything under control. The throne of God does not teeter and totter. When the economy is challenged or your finances are depleted, Father doesn't look to Jesus nervously and say, "What are we going to do? We've got to hock one of the pearly gates." He owns it all. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, right? Psalm 24:1. Cattle on a thousand, all the silver and gold are mine in the book of Haggai. Say, well, I wish he'd slip a little bit of it. Listen, He's your provider. The provider is in you to will and to work His good pleasure. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. He's our life. He's our hope. He's our strength. But I want to tell you something. The enemy tries to get us in panic mode. Fear, anxiety, and if you let it, it'll mess you up. I'm not saying that, you know, if you're in fear right now, God's wiping His hands, you know. Listen, He is there. He is here. And when they're arrested, they're warned seriously to stop preaching this name. And Peter spoke with boldness. And they looked at the boldness that he spoke with. And it says this, he and John were uneducated and untrained. That's right there in the Bible. And yet they spoke with boldness. And you remember what the remark was? You could tell that they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was operating through them. I can't do anything. In fact, I don't have any self-confidence. I want to have God confidence. Because I want to tell you something. I can't do anything that will count for eternity. Nothing. That's a good place to be. Remember the king? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That was the words of Jehoshaphat, when the Edomites, the Meunites, and the Moabites had come to crush little Judah. We don't know what to do. Listen, I shared this with some friends this morning. God is always working behind the scenes. Always. Always. You say, I can't see, I can't feel. He's got everything under control. Now, this is what you'll find in Acts chapter 4. They were severely threatened to stop proclaiming this name. Now, I want to tell you something. It did affect them. Just like stuff affects you and me. You know, God doesn't wrap us in cotton and, you know... I mean, in this world, you said it, Vic, this morning when you were praying. In this world, you have tribulation, but what? I've overcome. It doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to come and knock on your door or try to intimidate you. A problem rises up, a difficulty comes against you, an impossibility, you know, you don't see any way out. God specializes in deliverance. Amen. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Yes. And remember the battle plan the Lord gave? It made no sense. Send out the worship team. They didn't have swords. You know, swords, spears, gigs. They had praise. They went out with worship. And what happened? God set up an ambush. The enemies turned on each other, didn't they? Huh? Looked like the Keystone Cops. Young people are saying, what on earth is he talking about? Keystone Cops. They destroyed each other. I wonder how much of the enemy's purposes and plans that can be circumvented when we are unpredictably predictable. Listen to this. You know, hey, the enemy knows how to push your buttons. You agree with that? What gets under your skin? What you causes you to boil? Impatience, whatever. Knows what to do. Instead of being predictable, be unpredictable. Instead of criticizing, start complimenting. That'll mess the enemy up really big. Instead of whining, start worshiping. You want to confuse the enemy? I'll tell you. And Peter and John were affected because one more time, it mentions the boldness. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Anybody facing problems right now? Just be honest enough. Anybody? More. Difficulties rising up against you. Impossibilities, huh? Maybe diagnoses cause fear. Get perspective. Because Peter and John were affected by this threat. And they were threatened several times. Because this is what they do. They go back and they pray for boldness. Why? Because their boldness had been shaken. And these are people filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on these disciples, didn't he? In the upper room, post-resurrection experience, number one for them. And they were full of fear, weren't they? Why? Fear that the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to their Lord. For fear of their fellow Jews, they're locked together behind. You know, Mary Magdalene, I've shared this in the church before. She was the first one to preach the gospel of the resurrection. You know, the woman that had seven demons cast out? First one to preach the resurrection. I'm not lobbying for the ladies, but I want to tell you something, people. We need to realize that those disciples who were used to release miracles, healings, cast out devils, they did not believe. Their belief had been shaken. And it wasn't until Jesus' glorified body materialized right through the locked door. He was already raised from the dead. But there was no effect for them. And he spoke shalom. And their fear fell by the wayside. I want to tell you, there are times when I speak shalom to myself. Because it does mean wholeness, completeness, stillness, calmness. Aren't there times when, you know, you've got to calm the raging sea, dispel the wind that listen, my wife and I, we were in that hurricane down there that came up through the Gulf of Mexico named Michael. Remember that? It went right by Thomasville. There's a calm in the midst of the storm. I preached this in this church before. Jesus is in your boat. For some of us, he's asleep in the boat. Wake him up. Wake him up. And he rebuked the wind, didn't he? Be still. That's what Pastor was talking about. Commanding the realm of heaven to manifest in our midst. Because there's no fear in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no diabetes in heaven. Now, we probably have to make some lifestyle changes, okay? But it's all under his feet. Every enemy of his is an enemy of yours. Sin, sickness, disease, the lies of the enemy, the condemnation and the guilt that we're perpetrated with, it's under his feet. Not guilty. Fear not. Didn't David speak to his soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul. My mind, my will, my emotions, my decisions. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Praise the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 42. Don't be afraid. Get perspective. And that's what they do. They start praying. And they pray Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? Why do people plot in vain? Why do the kings and rulers take their stand against God and his anointed? They get perspective of who's in control. One of the impressions I got during the worship is we need to give up control. That's one of our big problems. I can handle that. I can't handle anything. And I understand control issues. You don't want someone to take advantage of you, but the Lord never will. He's not an abuser. He's not a manipulator. He's not an extorter. Give him control. I can't, Lord, but you can. Isn't Holy Spirit called helper, counselor, teacher, spirit of truth? We're saying, Holy Spirit, send your rain down. I want to tell you, fill the atmosphere with your presence, but Lord, let us be aware of you within. You, Lord. You and you alone. Be aware. You know, it's frustrating when the mouse gets stuck on the computer. Has that ever happened to any of you? Here's a good word that relates to this message. When the problem rises, when the frustration comes, when your patience is pushed to the end, reset. Reboot. Unplug it and plug it back in. And if you don't have a computer, there's some word called recalibrate. Come to your senses. Who's in control? And that's exactly what they start praying. Why do the nations rage? People plot in vain. Kings and rulers take their stand against God and his anointed. Then they start naming the problems. Not that they're centering on the problems. They're centering on the one who reigns and rules over all of it. Amen. He's in control. David did that. David did not have the Holy Spirit like you do. Now, the presence of the Lord was with him. He knew the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, when he repented, he said, take not your, what? Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not from your presence. He said, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. He's talking about the tent that was in his backyard, the tabernacle that bore his name, where the ark was in his backyard. Did you know that? Mount Zion. He'd go out to the tent every day. You know, when he talks about, you know, the secret place, Psalm 91, under the shadow. I want to tell you something. I see him prostrated there at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant. He's not the high priest. I love the habitation of your house. The place where your glory, your manifest presence. We were asking for presence, singing about presence today, cultivating presence today. I'm not talking about a mere ethereal influence. I'm talking about his presence. You have his presence in you. You're the house. I'm the house. We're the place where his glory dwells. Wow. It's amazing. That's what I focus on. I get my eyes off of me, my, and I onto him. The one who's in control. The one who can handle it. The greater one. The Almighty One, the Most High God, the Lord of hosts. That's who he is. He's in control. And he can handle it. And then they continue to pray. And Lord, stretch out your hand with signs, miracles, and wonders. They're not saying, we did all this, 3,000, 5,000 signs, miracles, and wonders, and look what this gets us. Some people get mad at God when things, you know, don't stack up the way they think they should. Uh-oh. I can't get mad at God. You say, well, I have. Well, you know, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, you know, he's in control. If anybody messes up, guess who? Moi. He doesn't mess up. People get themselves into a mess and they get mad at God. Well, I've been serving you all these many years. I've been in the way. That's the problem. You've been in the way. Need to get out of the way. Give him control. Control. God's not our co-pilot. You know that, don't you? Yeah. He's the pilot. I can't do this. Stretch out your hand with signs, miracles, and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus, and grant your servants boldness. Why? Because their boldness had been affected. Get perspective. Who's in control? Can God handle it?
Yes.
You see, there's order in the chaos. Lean back into him, get perspective, and he'll begin to open it up. Because he marks your steps. He orders your steps. And if you get off track, sharing this with somebody this morning, you get off track, he'll get you right back on track. Amen. But don't panic your way down the street somewhere. Lord, you're everything. Without you, we can do nothing. We've tried in our strength, but it leads to failure. Leads to failure. Even people that have, a very positive attitude, I'm all for positive attitudes. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless God does it, it will never count for eternity. No matter what you accomplish on this earth, educationally, vocationally, talent-wise, artist-wise, that'll never fulfill you. Ever. I lived 23 years trying to fill this void with all kinds of stuff. Substances, notoriety, whatever I thought meant fame, and nothing ever filled it. Nothing except Jesus. Pascal, the great philosopher, Christian philosopher. You say, how can a Christian be a philosopher? Well, he was very, very dedicated to the Lord. He said, every man, every woman, every child is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only the Lord can fill. Drugs can't do it. Money can't do it. Stuff can't do it. Sex will never do it. The casino will never do it. The highest office in the land will never do it. Only Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. That song.